You're gonna trip me? These kids in their cords. These kids. Good morning. Oh, come on. We can do better. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. All right. All right. Hey, I got a couple of announcements. We're going to pray. Then we're going to get to worship. I'll save all the jokes for later because I got some good ones, right? I got some good ones today. But a couple things. Actually, let's start with prayer. Then we'll do announcements. How's that sound? All right, let's pray. Father, we do come before you today. Lord, we are just thankful. Lord, we are thankful that we could gather here today. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for our mothers. Lord Jesus Christ, that you elevated mothers, that you elevated women, and Lord, in a time and in a place where they weren't. And so we want to do that today. But Lord, we don't want to elevate anybody more than you. And so, Lord, today, would all that we do and say, Lord, all that we sing, everything about us, Lord, just lift your name up, that we would praise you today. And so we come and we exalt you. We put you on high. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We want to thank you and praise you, Jesus, to that end. Amen.
Amen.
All right, couple quick announcements. It is Mother's Day, just in case you didn't know. If you didn't know, call your mother right now, okay? All right, we'll give you time, all right? It's the only time we want the cell phones actually on in church is if you forgot to tell your mother Happy Mother's Day. Now is acceptable. Hey, all of you moms, if you didn't get your dessert, your little parfait thing, cupcake thing, whatever it is, don't worry, I'll eat it. I wasn't supposed to say that. If you didn't get one, make sure you get one. Hey, guys, as delicious as they look, those are for mothers, okay? So you just be really nice to your wife, and maybe she'll give you a bite. But mothers, if you didn't get one, please make sure you get one of those. If you already got one and there's some left, take another. And you don't have to share with your kids or your husband. Today is your day, but just today, just today. If it's in the fridge tomorrow, all bets are off, okay? All right? Okay, but make sure you get that, and then we have a couple little things for you when you leave, so make sure you get those as well. So thank you for being moms. We want to appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for all of that. And so there's that. Hey, Financial Peace University is getting ready to start. There's a flyer on the bulletin board, and there's a link on that flyer that you just, if you're going to join, if you're going to sign up, you just go and you go to that link, and you'll be able to pay for the class. And a couple only has to buy one membership. Listen, guys, if you need this Financial Peace University, you're struggling with money and all that kind of stuff, and you can't afford the class, come and talk to me, because we want to make sure that you actually get to enjoy financial peace, right? We want you to be stewards of God's money, good stewards. And so just come and talk to me, and we'll make sure that that gets taken care of, okay? Sign up for that class. Hey. Memorial Day, worship. We have worship night coming Memorial Day. Yeah. All right. That is going to be, it'll be a Sunday evening, and then for the evening service, we won't have church service. We will have the worship night. But the barbecue is going to start at 6 o'clock. We'll start eating at 6 o'clock or start cooking. I don't know. Either way, just come for some hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that, and then come for a time of worship. Worship will start at 7. I'm sure I'm forgetting something else, but we come to praise the Lord. Amen. So I don't want to waste any more time with announcements. How's that sound? All right, then let's praise the Lord.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless.
Like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. Dead man walking, slave to sin. I want to know about being born again. I need you, God, I need you. So take me to the riverside, take me under, baptize. I need you, oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water.
So this next song, Sunday's Coming, if you were here, we did it for Easter. It's a great Easter song, and we were talking amongst ourselves. So is it okay to do on a regular Sunday? Okay, right? Because it's the story of life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the truth. It's about hope, salvation, love, and it's the gospel. It's about what happened, and it's about what is still happening. Everyday people are calling on the name of Jesus and stepping into the resurrection, the victory that Jesus won. I pray that this song will point our hearts and our eyes to Jesus.
A great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grace. A perfect man would have to die, could pay that price. Friday's good, 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope, 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. So let those soldiers take him in. As his friend betrayed him with a kiss. There before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. So he carried that cross to Calvary, and he shed his blood to set us free. As the nails went in and the sky went dark, of the world was on his heart. Friday's good, 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope, 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good, 'cause Sunday's coming. Then he breathed his last and bowed his head. The Son of God and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Let me tell you what happened next. The women came before the dawn to find that stone already gone. When they looked inside, the angel said, are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't lose hope, 'cause Sunday is coming. Sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. Oh, church, arise, he's coming soon.
Never known a love like yours, so intimate, so powerful. And I've tasted, I've seen, and nothing comes close. Never known a love like yours, Jesus. Your name is power. It's breath and living water, and your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. Let your praise ring louder every day and every hour, 'cause your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father.
Home like this,
just like a child, so we're heart of the Father, let your praise ring louder every day and every hour, 'cause your Spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. We sing praise, we sing praise, God, we
Jesus, who is lifted high, only Jesus.
John 14:6.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and children are staying for the video. Yeah, children aren't dismissed yet.
Thank you for saying that, because I forgot.
Moms are special. Moms are very special. There's only a few ways you can describe moms, right? No. A high school, junior high school science teacher was teaching his class, and he had this new topic he was getting ready to teach on, and so he starts with kind of this riddle or this pop quiz, and he stated it like this: my name starts with an M and it has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Half the class said, mother! And he meant magnet. Magnet, right? Something completely different. Hey, little Jimmy was 7 years old, and his mom just, you know boys, right? You know boys. And she was just stressed out. Little Jimmy was causing all kinds of trouble. And she says, little Jimmy, you see these gray hairs in my head? These are because of you. Right? Don't be like, oh, that's so mean. You've said it, mothers. Right? Okay. Here's the thing. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Little Jimmy says, well, man, you must have been a bad kid because all of grandma's hairs are gray. Huh? Good jokes. One more, and we'll get to this. Hey, a father was trying to explain to his four-year-old daughter the whole concept of marriage. And so he decided he wanted to use a wedding album as, you know, like a visual aid. And so he goes to their wedding album to show them, show the wedding pictures, and so he goes through, and he's talking about all this stuff, and so his four-year-old daughter, at the end, he says, hey, do you have any questions? Like, do you? So she points to one of the pictures of her mother and father together when they were young, and she says, Daddy, is this when Mama came to work for us? All right, I got more. Yeah. Scientists, speaking of scientists, you know, they have tested, they have done these lab tests, and they have come to the conclusion that mother's spit is the same chemical composition as Formula 409. Right? Isn't that true? Come on, whose mom went? Yeah, that's just the truth. Hey, it is Mother's Day, and there's a lot for mothers. There's a lot in the Bible. As I said earlier, you know, the Bible doesn't hold women down. In fact, it elevates women and motherhood and all of these. And so it's Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is one of those hard ones because you're like, man, how do you just preach to mothers, right? Because here's the thing. Is everybody in here a mother? Who's not a mom, right? Thanks, gentlemen. We needed that, okay? It's just the truth. And so as a pastor, you're like, man, do I? And this is one of the things is when I was a young pastor, it was just like, man, how do you do these things? Like, do you just do these, or you just stick to the Bible? Or it could, going from expositional preaching to topical preaching and this and that, and you just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then you soon to come to realize that, you know, if it's in the Bible, it's good. Amen? Amen. And so this message won't just have to do with mothers, obviously, but there are so many mothers in the Bible, and there are so many stories. And so we're just going to get into the Word. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 about a mother. And about a mother, and I think it fits, because I'm going to share some statistics and things like this, and I want you to hear me out when I got to start with this. When I share some of these statistics are not to shame anybody or put anybody down, be like, oh, wait, pastor, starting out like this. I want you to hear me out. The statistics are here for a reason, right? And it shows the truth and the reality of where we are as a nation or as a culture or as a people. And so when I share some statistics, I just want you to know that the statistics are for that reason. And so if I come across anything other than that, I apologize now. So I just want you to know that. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15, and we have this story of this mother. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. And so we have this mother who is not, the heading in your Bible might actually say something along the line of a Gentile mother's faith, right? Or something along those lines. And we're going to see that faith here. And we're going to see Jesus' response, and so it's going to call us as a whole church, really, not just as mothers. It'll call us as a whole entire church. And so if you'll stand as we read God's Word together. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. And so if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, it'll be on the screen as well. When Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came and kept crying out, Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon. Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she's crying out after us. Then he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We praise you and we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And so, Lord, we ask for understanding and for wisdom. Lord, for direction. Lord, and for the power to live according to your word. In your name, for your sake, amen. Have a seat. So, I mean, you read the scripture and you're like, man, it's pretty self-explanatory in here. And with Mother's Day, we can just pick a few things out. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, hey, here's the thing. This mother, she knew the problem. All right, there's many problems that face us as a church, that face us as people, that face us. And there's a lot of things. I did some in these statistics. The biggest challenges in raising children today, and this was done by Pew Research, the number one, anybody want to guess? We're going to be a little interactive here today. Anybody want to know what the number one issue or challenge in raising children today? Just take a guess. Okay, money. Internet. Technology. What's that? Loss. Love. 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 Loss. Okay, sorry. No. Check this out. This is what's crazy. Money is down almost to the end. 8%. Only 8% said money. Number one factor was societal factors, meaning society outside influences. That was the highest, 13%. Drugs and alcohol, 10. Peer pressure, 7. TV, internet, movies, 5. Keeping kids from trouble, 4. Crime, gangs, and keeping kids safe, 4%. So those societal factors all add up to 38%. More than anything else, even more than morals or disciplines, which came in at 31%. So we have society as a whole saying that, listen, there's these societal factors that are actually the biggest challenge to raising kids. And so, hey moms, like, how many of you had a mom that just kind of, like, the term, she has eyes in the back of her head, right? Who had a mom like that? Who you like? You really weren't sure. You're like, I think she does. But here's the truth. Moms just know stuff. Like, as you get a little bit older, you're like, okay, she really didn't have eyes in the back of her head. But man, that means she lived some of the same life I lived, right? So now as an adult, we have a little different leverage. But that's why the kids are gone. Don't worry about that. But here's the thing. Moms know the problem. Because moms have this, and dads, listen, this isn't selling you short, but statistically, moms are the ones who are closest. You know, God gave motherhood, like motherhood is the greatest, highest calling. Listen, you have the closest relationship, you have the first, you have everything with the children. You are the first minister to those children, just so you know. Now, fathers, you have a role and a responsibility as the head of the house, as that. Now, that doesn't mean you just run around and you boss people around and you make sure everybody does everything the way you like it. That's not what it says. It means you need to enable your wife. You need to enable your children to seek and to find God and to be able to worship. Mothers are the ones who have the most, statistically, most impact there on their children. And it does. It starts. God has designed that. Hey, guys, you don't have a womb. There's a connection that takes place with the mother inside the womb that we don't get, right? Right? And some of you guys are thinking, yeah, I don't want to carry that thing around. I got my own belly to carry. I don't need, you know, like, that's it, right? But God has made it this way for a reason. This is why mothers are statistically more nurturing, more caring in that regards, this, that, and the other. I'm not saying dads aren't important because, you know, we got to make sure they get a good swat every once in a while. Just hear me out. But mothers typically know because they have a different connection than fathers. Fathers, here's the thing. When we know the issues, most of the time it's because our wives have told us this is the issue. How many of you guys, like, your wife comes to you and she says, this is the actual issue. And you're like, huh, that's what it was? I just, you know, I thought we needed to just do something. And they're like, no. This is the actual issue. You see, mothers have this, just this way, just like the eyes in the back of their head. This mother knows the problem. And again, this problem is a big problem that her daughter's facing. It is a huge problem, which we're going to get into. But here's the fact. Her mother knew it. Her mother had this relationship with her daughter. She saw the change. Now, it's a big change here, but we're going to bring some of this stuff up. She knew the problem. And here's the problem. Satan was trying to destroy her daughter. Listen, she had a demon. Now what's interesting about this is her daughter had this demon, and she knew it. And here's what's going on. She had a plan, and so she goes out, and she's crying out to Jesus. And so here's this mother's plan. She didn't go to the world, right? She knew what the issue was. Okay, there's this demon. It's not a societal factor. It's this demonic presence, which you can pretty much interchange nowadays. She knows the problem, and then she makes this plan. She knows where to go. Now, here's the deal. The scripture makes it very clear that she was a Canaanite woman. I don't remember this. I don't remember if where exactly it is in Genesis, but you remember Canaan was cursed. Canaan was this cursed group of people. And so when we talk about, you know, Jesus loves everybody, this, that, and the other, the first picture of this Canaanite woman, she knows where to go. Now, her being a Canaanite, coming from the region of Sidon, there was a pagan god. In fact, right outside of Sidon, there's this temple to this pagan god of healing named Eshmun. And so she's from this region, no doubt knows that this temple is here. And I would guess, I would really bet that she spent time at this temple asking this quote-unquote god of healing, this pagan god of healing, to heal her daughter. Here's the problem. She was spending time in pagan practice trying to get rid of a pagan problem. And so she's inside the world looking for the world's solutions to the world's problems. And so her daughter has this problem, and so she had spent time. In fact, she's a Canaanite. She comes from Sidon. We know there was no church there. In fact, there is no church there. Jesus is making his way, going into this area to bring the good news. And so here's the problem. When all of the world's solutions, when all of the false gods didn't work, she hears that Jesus is in town, and her plan is, wait, I'm going to go to the one who actually heals. And so she goes to Jesus because she knew the problem. She knew what the problem was, and she had tried other things. Now, listen, I get it. The scripture doesn't say, but we can take some truths. How many of you have spent time in the world looking for solutions to your problems? How many of you have looked to the world to try to raise your children? No. Listen, I'm not saying that you just cast them out to the wolves. But, right, there's other parents at school that said, oh, when, you know, little Jimmy is acting up, this is what I do. Like, I mean, it's down to that level, to where we're going somewhere outside of Jesus to find the actual solutions. And so there's no doubt. Listen, we've all done it. We've all looked for advice. How many of you have read an article, right? You've read some article. This is the top 10 ways to make your kid listen, or the top 10 ways to make your kid clean their room, or the top whatever it is. We've all spent time there because we're looking for wisdom in all of these places, and the world seems to be the ones who are telling us that they have all the wisdom. And so, in fact, there's this whole temple, and come and see this God. You need a healing problem, or you need a healing for a problem, come to this God, this quote-unquote God who heals. Well, here's the problem. How many times have you gone to the world, and the world has let you down? And sooner or later, you start looking somewhere other than the world. You see, this is what God uses. God uses those things in all of our failures and all of our failed attempts to find truth. And he brings all of that to himself. And so he comes into town, and obviously she hears about him, and so she comes. Now, here's the thing. We don't know if she ran to pills, if she ran to drugs, if she ran to alcohol. She didn't abandon her daughter. She didn't do all of these things because the problem was difficult. No. Here this mother was. She says, my child has this issue, and I need to get it resolved. And so she didn't run to these other things, or if she did, she left all those, she abandoned all that, and she went to Christ because she knew the only healing for this problem was Christ. And you can say, well, that's a little different than my kid not cleaning their room. This child had a demon. Listen, you want to know what society is forcing your children, trying to force your children to follow? Demonic activities. Pagan rituals. But listen, it might not be huge here, right here, meaning here in Cold Springs, but it does impact us about how culture and things are changing and saying, anybody ever watch that, What is a Woman? Where like all these people can't define what a woman is and there's all this kind of stuff. And so maybe it's not that impactful, quote unquote, right here in Cold Springs. But culturally, societally, it is an issue, right? It's one of those things. And I want you to listen to this. It is a problem. It is a problem. And listen to what is attacking your children. We'll go this way. A woman is a woman and a mother is a mother, and we know all of this, and the Bible makes that very clear. I went to the White House website, right? Their actual website, their official website for a couple of things. And so this is what I looked up, and so, you know, there's this, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, I'm just going to read a part of it. And this is straight off the White House's website, and this was the Mother's Day, welcome or thing that Biden put out, right? This is a portion of it. This is a portion of it. This is about halfway down as Biden talks about some things, this, that, and the other. I'm going to pick up at this part. Across the country, mothers are nurturing children, providing for families, and driving innovation in every field. They serve at the highest levels of government. They lead our nation's military and power our economy, running some of the biggest companies in the world and operating beloved small businesses on Main Street across America. And at the same time, many mothers work night shifts and jobs that often do not pay them enough to make ends meet and support their families. As moms continue knocking down the barriers that stand in the way of all women and girls reaching their full potential, my administration is working to give them support and opportunity. Our American Rescue Plan helped keep the doors open for 220,000 child care providers, 90% of which are owned and staffed by women, so families could go to work while their children were cared for. We expanded the child tax credit and cut child poverty in half during our first year in office. The historic infrastructure, manufacturing, and clean energy laws I signed as a part of our Investing in America agenda are creating good-paying jobs for women in sectors where they have been previously underrepresented. And to ensure that new and expecting mothers can thrive in the workplace, I signed into law a new protection for pregnant workers and nursing parents in the workplace, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act and the Providing Urgent Maternal Protections for Nursing Mothers Act. Okay, that was just a portion of it. You're like, man, that sounds pretty good. We're just trying to encourage women to just be at the top and be everything they can. No, listen. Did you hear that? All of that said is, hey, we're putting a whole bunch of stuff in place, so moms, you get to keep on working. So you can stay out of the house, send your children to be cared for by somebody else, and keep on working so you can make ends meet. And guess what? We're going to keep raising what it takes to make ends meet so that you have to continue working. Listen, the societal factors, the enemy is working at destroying the family. Now, I want you guys to hear when I say this, being a mother is the highest calling, moms. Taking care of your children is far more important than, guess what, the house you live in, the cars you drive, if you eat SpaghettiOs for dinner. I'm being serious. Now, this is not to shame mothers who have to go to work. This is not to shame that when I share these statistics, this is why I want to make sure we have a lot of things taking place. There are single mothers in here. Okay, single mothers in here spent time as a single mother, and you're like, man, I had to do this. These are all the things I did. You did it because of the love of your child. But here's the thing. Society has made it in a way to where we encourage you to have to be that way. Where we've made it easy for men to walk out on their obligations and to make the mothers have to go to work and put children in childcare and do all of these things and get your children raised by the system to change our culture. That's what has been taking place. That is demonic, pagan activity. Don't be upset if you had to go work. This is not a slam against you. This is a slam. This is us trying to bring into realization what is actually against us. And many of you might be thinking, hey, what about that Proverbs 31 lady? Man, that was a hardworking lady. I mean, she earned money. She was buying fields. She was doing the laundry. She was doing all this kind of stuff. That was the hardest working woman I ever heard of. Right. But she did it all for her family. She didn't do it to be in the upper echelons of government or in upper echelons of the military to lead with power and to do all these things. No, she cared and she loved for her family because that's the role God gave her. And so all of those things came from caring for the family. And so she was a blessing to everybody. And so don't be upset. Let's realize the truth of what's actually working against us, because here's the thing. Maybe the issues you're facing with your kids, maybe the issues that you're facing in the world don't seem demonic. They don't seem like this, man, my kid has got a demon. But there is a whole bunch of demonic activity working against you. That's the truth. Ladies, I am not saying that you're not intelligent. You're way smarter than us. There's a reason God made you mothers and not fathers, right? How many of you got a one-track mind? Okay, wives, how many of your husbands have a one-track mind? We need some honesty. Now we're talking, right? There's just something different about women. Here's the thing, and when we go through the Bible, they are the most faithful. Listen, I'm not just elevating moms and bringing dads down or fathers down, but here's the truth. Women are the most faithful, typically, in the Bible. They continue, like, they're just the ones, like, there's this work to do, we got to do this. Even in the beginning, what happens? Adam just stands aside while she, right? He doesn't take his role serious. Mothers, women, I want you to know we're completely equal. When God has established roles, I need this to be very clear. We are all equal in our sin and our need of a Savior. We are all equal when it comes to God's love for us. God established roles for us to make things move the way he wanted them to. It's not about importance. Women can't be pastors because God has established that. Not because they don't know the Bible, not because they're not filled with the Spirit, not because they don't know things, not because they can't teach. God has established roles. We just need to come to the grips and the truth of the reality of what God says. That's what we need to abide by. And if we don't like it, we need to change. Because God will not change. He's not going to. And God is tired of us trying to make him change or trying to present him as something different. And so all of that, again, go read the whole entire thing, but I'm telling you, this whole thing was all about keeping women working, to keep families busy in industry and chasing money and trying to provide for their families. And the best thing we can do is run to Jesus. Because the same administration put this out. It talks about mother. And here's the thing. When you read the Mother's Day note, when we talk about these societal factors and what is a woman and all these things, there's small amounts of confusion. I just want you to hear me. There's small amounts of trouble and confusion, this, that, and the other. But when the White House puts out the statement, it clearly defines in the statement that a mother is a woman. Right? Like, it makes some of these things clear. So even though some of society may be confused or this, that, or the other, this, again, I just want you to realize, you can't deny God's truth. And so they make this, and so they say this, and so this is the letter that comes out, and here's another letter that came from the same website. I just want you to hear this. In the same administration. And it's not that this Biden administration is more evil than any of the rest. Here's the thing, that's not the point. The point is this, from the same website, from the same administration. Some of you will remember this. 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court issued a decision that overturned Roe versus Wade and eliminated a woman's constitutional right to choose. This decision expressly took away a right from the American people that it had recognized for nearly 50 years, a woman's right to make her own reproductive health care decisions, free from government interference. Fundamental rights to privacy, autonomy, freedom, and equality have been denied to millions of women across the country with grave implications for their health, lives, and well-being. This ruling will disproportionately affect women of color, low-income women, and rural women. President Biden has made it clear that the only way to secure a woman's right to choose is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe as federal law, and until then, he is committed to doing everything in his power to defend reproductive rights and protect access to safe and legal abortion. Today, President Biden will sign an executive order protecting access to reproductive health care services. This executive order builds on the actions of his administration has already taken to defend reproductive rights by, one, safeguarding access to reproductive health care services, including abortion and contraception, protecting the privacy of patients and their access to accurate information, promoting the safety and security of patients, providers, and clinics, and coordinating the implementation of federal efforts to protect reproductive rights and access to health care, including abortions. The same administration who would write in one letter, "You mothers are so blessed," writes another letter that says, "We're going to make sure that we destroy motherhood as much as we can." You don't think it's demonic activity? Satan is trying to destroy the family. Satan is trying to destroy motherhood. Satan is trying to destroy what God has created, and even the belief and the exercise of it. Listen, the thing that is facing us as a society, not just the church, is that Satan is destroying and trying and working really, really hard to destroy motherhood, families, all of this. And he's got a lot of tools in the toolbox. Women, he's telling you that you're not a valuable, important woman unless you go to work and unless you outperform men, unless you this and unless you this and unless you this. Here's the thing, women. Do what God's called you to do. Now, when we say this, not all of you are mothers. Not all of you are mothers. Well, in the fact that maybe you didn't carry a child. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Because here's the thing. These bonds of motherhood, we see this mother, we see this mother who knows the issue. She knows that there's this demonic attack, and so she goes to Jesus because that's where she has to go. And so some of us sit and say, "Well, I'm not a mother. How does this affect me?" Well, listen to this, church. Titus chapter 2. You'd think I would have had a bookmark. I didn't. We're going to start at verse 3. Now, there's stuff for older men, but it ain't Father's Day, so you know. Verse 3, in the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good so that they may, listen, so that they may encourage the young women. Now, here's the thing. Yes, ladies, you need help. The young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, and kind, and in submission to their husbands so that God's word will not be slandered. Ladies, there's not a one of you who does not have a motherhood role inside God's people, inside the church. Every one of you. So that God's word, God's command, God's desire would not be slandered. Here's the truth, you older, mature women. There are younger women, and here's the thing, whether you're 60, 40, 20, or 15. There is a younger woman you are responsible for. There is an older woman you need to look up to, and there is a younger woman you need to reach out and help and encourage. This is the way that God has made it. And so don't worry about where the scripture says, "I don't permit a woman to teach a man." Listen, you've got more people to teach. How to love their husbands. Here's the thing. Ladies, you know how much you teach your husband when you just love him through his knucklehead steps and mistakes? When we start looking at it, we're looking for status. No. We got to stop looking for status. We got to start looking at who we are in Christ Jesus, what he's called us to be. Nothing more, but definitely nothing less. And so, ladies, you got a whole list right here. How to love your husbands, how to love your children. Sometimes you need help, but we can't go outside to the world. We need to come back to, here's the thing, mature women in the church. Now, that doesn't just mean that they're older. Listen, just because you're old and you've been in church for 100 years doesn't make you mature or wise. Older ladies, this is a call for you to be raised in the word, to be students of the word, to be disciples of the word. So even if you hadn't had a child or you haven't had the craziness of a husband, you still know what God's word says, and you still know what God commands and what God calls us to and how God encourages us and moves us. And so you can lead a woman in wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit through his word. You see why we don't have to argue about roles? If we just take what God has called us to, each one of you say, okay, who am I? Who am I? All right? This is who I am. I'm a father. I'm a dad. I'm a brother. I'm a man. I'm a son. I'm all these things. If you just start picking one of those things, right? Just pick one of those things and see what the Bible has for you in each one of those things. You'll be like, man, I don't even have enough time to worry about trying to call everybody else out or trying to be something I'm not. Just being a good son to my parents, like there's this whole list of stuff that I fail in. Being a good husband, well, we won't go there. We'll go there. Being a good father, I mean, you start adding the list up. I don't need to spend a whole bunch of time bagging on somebody else. God has called me to my own walk. And so if you just take who you are, right, and take it from the centrality, the central point, the truth that in Christ Jesus, he has things for us. And that brings us to this point. Listen, Christ is calling you. Christ is giving you the opportunity. This woman goes to Christ, even though she, quote unquote, had no rights to, no reason to. Her only reason was that she needed something because the world had no answers. The other false religions, all of these other things, it didn't work. There was no power there. And so this mother who had an issue, a serious issue, Satan was trying to destroy her child and destroy her family. She went to the only place she could, even though she had no rights to. Listen, some of you think that you can't come to God, you can't fully give yourself over to the Lord because of these sins or because of these things in your life. And you think that Jesus won't receive you. Oh, I did this, or I've got this, or I've got that. Listen, here's a woman who, by all means, Jesus even makes clear, hey, what are you doing coming to talk to me? Now listen, just relax. We're going to cover it. She's a Canaanite woman. Wasn't she cursed? I mean, she's cursed from the flood, right? She's supposed to be a servant to everybody else. So, like, she doesn't even have any rights, quote unquote, because of this curse. And so all of the world and all of my family and all of my generations and everything has just cursed me. And I can't come to God. There's just no way. That's a lie. Listen, if you think there's something keeping you from Jesus, that's a lie from the enemy, because he doesn't want you to get into his presence to see that you're forgiven by his shed blood. It doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter what your grandpappy did, all right? You can come to Jesus. He's calling you. Jesus seems quiet. Look at this. Listen what happens. She comes and she calls out. And what it sounds like is that Jesus ignores her. Listen, she comes and she calls out to Jesus and to his disciples. Now, here's this noisy mother. Mom, like when we talk about, you know, I'd do anything for my kids. Here's the example. She comes to Jesus, and Jesus ain't saying anything. So she starts talking to the disciples. Now, I've got a few things with this. Listen, I know women who have been hurt by the church, and I know that some of you have probably been hurt by the church, and you've come to those, quote-unquote, disciples of Jesus looking for help, looking for them to encourage you, to point you to Jesus, and they have let you down. And guess what? I apologize. The church apologizes to you for that. Because here these disciples, they're like, man, this lady is nuts. And they tell Jesus, tell her go away. She keeps bugging us. And so often the church has done that. And the church, listen, you want to hear some more statistics? 68% of Protestant churches say that mothers are doing a worse job than they ever have. It's coming from the church. And so the church is not doing a real good job of making sure that mothers are supported. And you know why they're saying that? Because divorce is up, and because abortion's up, and because single motherhood, and you know what the term baby mama, baby daddy, all that kind of stuff comes from? And instead of the church letting people, calling these people, inviting these people to come in and just have a relationship, just have an experience with Jesus Christ, come to find him and know him, we're saying, no, you're a wicked person. You shouldn't be a single mom. How dare you? What do you mean you're divorced? What do you mean you're single? What do you mean you're doing this? What do you mean this? And the church is saying, listen, you mothers are doing a horrible job. The vast majority, 68%, That's not like 51%. That's not like we're real close to splitting the lines. No, 68% of Protestants say moms are doing a bad job. Moms are doing a bad job, a worse job than they have in the past 20 or 30 years. That's coming from the church. Listen, first of all, mothers. We're all sinners who needed grace. Jesus is offering you grace. Secondly, if the church has offended you or hurt you, haven't treated you right, just remember, the church doesn't always act like Jesus. The church, we are coming together to meet Jesus, to find Jesus, to be changed by Jesus. And so be the one to forgive the church and to forgive the mistakes that people have made. Jesus has not let you down. For the church, we need to be inviting. We need to quit practicing so often Matthew 18 without taking all the proper steps of Matthew 18. So often the church doesn't even allow somebody to come in and actually find out what their sin is. So often people come into the church hurting, knowing that they already have a sin. They don't need us to point it out and call it out and rub it in their face. They already know. What they need from the church is, hey, this is Jesus. He forgave me and he can forgive you.
Amen.
So we as a church need to do that, not just here when we leave. And so you got the disciples that are saying, Jesus, just tell her to shut up and tell her to go away. And Jesus, it seems like Jesus is ignoring. Now listen, Jesus is not ignoring you. How many of you think Jesus has been silent in your life? You put your hand up. Come on. Be honest. Sometimes it just seems like Jesus is quiet. He is not answering my prayers. And sometimes he is. They're like, man, I went to the pastor and he said, Jesus always hears my prayers. Jesus always hears. Jesus wasn't ignoring because he didn't hear. This is an intentional ignoring for a couple of things. For the disciples to get a quick lesson. This is what true faith looks like. Now here's the deal. True faith in Christ will seek him. And so this lady, she doesn't care that the disciples, she doesn't care that the church has let her down. She doesn't care. She says, no, I need Jesus. And so I'm going to get to Jesus. And so she keeps calling out to Jesus. In fact, the scriptures talk about her crying out. She's not like, hey, Jesus. Oh, man, if Jesus would just look my way. No. Jesus seems to ignore her, and so she gets louder. How many of you like to argue by getting louder? Right? You're like, man, the louder I get, the more powerful I am. No. But if you were drowning, okay? We're going to go Frenchman's. There's some water in it now, you know, right? We're going to go Frenchman's, and I'm going to push you over the side of the boat. Not really. Just if I offer you to take a boat ride, don't like, I'm not going to. And I start driving away, and I get to a distance you couldn't swim to catch me. And you're fighting, and you're fighting, and you're fighting, and you're fighting, and eventually you're just like, man, I'm going to drown. And you realize you're drowning. And you start crying out for help. Would you be like,
help?
Would you be like, help? No. You'd be screaming with everything that you had. You would be trying to call out and trying to receive the help that you need because you're drowning. Listen, this woman knows that her daughter is drowning. She, as a mother, is drowning. You ever have a kid that was sick? You're like, man, I can't do anything. Isn't that the worst feeling? Right? You're like, I feel absolutely helpless. I can't do anything. How about this? Your children don't know the Lord, and you just feel helpless. I can't do anything. Man, just cry out louder. You're like, man, Jesus seems quiet. I think Jesus is ignoring me. No. Jesus wants to see your perseverance. He wants to see if you have true faith. Because what if Jesus' response was in one more cry and you gave up? That's what happens. Jesus is not ignoring her to be mean. Jesus is ignoring her to say, hey, let's hear your faith. And then guess what? And we're like, Jesus would never test us. Jesus would never, oh, that ain't true. Listen, your faith needs to be tested so that it's proven genuine. Because here's what happens next. Then he calls her a dog. And it's not as harsh as we want to see, but here's a couple things that Jesus, because here's the thing. Have you ever been called a dog in a loving way? No? Come on, guys, even with your buddies. So Jesus gives this story, and there's a reason he uses this illustration. He uses this illustration, he says, hey, here's the deal. And he's sharing the truth. Listen, he's sharing the truth. He says, man, I was sent to the house of Israel. Because that's where he was sent. Did you know that? He was sent to the house of Israel. And so you have this Canaanite, you have this Gentile woman calling out to him. And he looks at her and he says, hey, I wasn't sent to you, I was sent to the house of Israel. It's a test. And he says, it's not right for me to give the bread to the dogs. Now, the whole thing in dogs in Palestine, dogs are like homeless, they're scavengers, they're mangy mutts, right? And they go and they do all this kind of stuff. And the Jews regarded the Gentiles as that kind of dog. Right? This is how the Jews would speak to, right? The homeless or the Gentiles or, oh, that was a slip. They treat them less than human. And so Jesus makes this statement and this illustration, but he doesn't use the same word for dogs. He uses the word as like this little pet. Right? How many of you got a dog at home? How many does your dog get to sit on the couch? That is wrong. How many of your dogs sleep in the bed? That is wrong. So Jesus, I'm not going to go any further because you're already wrong. So, Jesus says, hey, it's not right for me to give to the little dogs. Right? He's not calling her this homeless scavenger, this scoundrel. So even in this thing, it's like he's taking this, like, listen, I know that the Jews would typically call you worthless and this scavenger. He's like, but I have a different, right? I have a different view. And so he's bringing to her, she knows she's a Gentile. She knows she's hated by the Jews. And so he takes something, he takes something here that the Jews, she would have already felt pressure. I mean, she's feeling it from the disciples right here, right? And so he takes this and he puts just this true spin of his love. And he says, listen, it's not right for me to give that to the dogs, right? And so he's not calling her a dog. It's just the next step in the test. And because she knows that she's drowning, she knows that her daughter's drowning, and she knows that Jesus is the only chance she actually has, right? She has a true faith in Jesus. And her true faith comes out like this. Oh, yes, but guess what? Even the dogs get the scraps or the crumbs that fall off of the table. So what she says, what her faith says, Jesus, I don't care what you have for me. I just know you're the only one who's a solution. You're the only one who can fix this. You're the only one who can rescue me from this drowning. Listen, I don't have to sit at the table. I don't have to sleep in your bed. I don't have to be on the pillow. I don't have to be getting full-on table scraps. I just need a crumb. Just like the woman who just touched Jesus' robe. If I could just touch his robe, that's all I need. And so true faith says, Jesus, anything you want is absolutely fine. Just rescue me from drowning. That's it. You rescue me from drowning, the rest of my life is yours, whatever you want. And so she comes and she says, listen, all I want is a crumb, Jesus. That's all I need, just a crumb. You don't have to make me super special. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't have to put me at the head of the table. I don't need to be any of that. Jesus, I just need you to rescue me. That's it. And so that's what she comes to. That's what she says. The whole thing was a test. Listen, when you read this same story in the Gospel of Mark, it's very interesting. When she calls him Lord, did you know in the Gospel of Mark, it's the only time that word Lord is used? Is when she talks to Jesus and calls him Lord. She's like, hey, you're the Lord. All I want is for you to rescue me. Do whatever else you want. Whatever you do and whatever you say is fine by me. You're my Lord. Just rescue me. Would you just save me? And listen, her being saved, it's not even for her. She's willing to give up everything of herself, all of her pride, all the dignity, just you name it, her whole entire life, so that her daughter would be saved. So that Jesus would just cast out this demon. And so she gives absolutely everything. Jesus tests her. Jesus seems quiet. Jesus calls her a dog or would seem to. But her faith perseveres, and Jesus blesses her. Listen, it leads to this blessing. And here's the truth. Jesus will respond to all who call on him in true faith. Even in this story, listen, yes, he did come to Israel. That's where he was sent. And there's a reason he was sent, because he was promised to the house of Israel. And so all these people who were not a part of Israel, they still got to come to Jesus. Because in their true faith, it's like, okay, fine, I'm not part of Israel, but Lord Jesus, I know that you're the only answer. And some of you have issues in life. Some of you have things that you're facing. And here's the truth. Jesus is the only answer. Whether he makes you this or establishes you here, this, or this, true faith says this: Lord Jesus, I don't care what comes next. Just fix this. Just take care of this. Listen, I'll lay aside all of, quote unquote, my dignity. I'll lay aside all that I have. I don't care if the church makes fun of me. I don't care if this happens. I don't care about this. Lord Jesus, I just need a crumb. And some of you reach out and you're just like, I just need a crumb. And in your heart, you're just like, Jesus, if I could, that crumb just sounds so good. True faith says this: man, I don't need to know everything. I just need to know you, Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you, church, is there a place in your life where you just need Jesus, right? You just need that crumb. Like, you're finally to the place where you're like, okay, I don't need to be this, and I don't need to be that, and I just need this crumb. I'm going to share a little story from Homeless yesterday, because I want you to know that as your spirit inside is crying out for a crumb, the Holy Spirit of God has said Jesus is the only answer to that crumb. And so you'll have to just accept that. And if you'll just come and just give your life to Christ, he responds. He seems silent. He's not ignoring you. He's testing if your faith is true. You may feel like the church, or you may feel like the Lord or something is putting you down, and all he's doing is bringing things into perspective so that when you respond to him, you won't be like, man, I felt like the wool was pulled over my eyes. Churches do that. Jesus doesn't. If you respond in true faith, listen, on the word, on its promise, and the promise of Jesus, listen, he will respond. He will receive you. But you can walk away. We were at Homeless Ministry yesterday. And there is this gentleman named Grant. And he comes, and I don't know if he was there before or if he just showed up when, I don't know. He just comes in as we were getting ready to pray. And he's broken and he's crying and, you know, all these. And he says that, you know, he needs this and all this kind of stuff. And so we pray for him. And the Lord just really put him on my heart. And everybody else was like, okay, what's Pastor doing, right? Like, it was just this. And I was like, hey. And so we prayed for him, and then he stayed, and he prayed as we prayed as a group. And I was like, hey, don't go anywhere. Listen, I want you to come with us today. I said, you're supposed to come, and you're supposed to. And the Lord instantly put on my heart that we're supposed to take him to Lovelock, right? And here's the thing. Don't ask me why we were supposed to take him to Lovelock, okay? This is just what the Lord is putting on my heart. And again, I'm one that's like, okay, is this from you, Lord? Because you got to be careful with some of that stuff. You know, I mean, because there's times where I'm just like, man, I just need to buy this guy a house or something, which is just unrealistic, right? So it's just one of those things. I'm like, man, so I'm sitting here wrestling through this whole thing, like, Lovelock? Like that? Really? Like, it's inside. So I just tell the guys, like, hey, here's the deal. Listen, you need to spend the day with us. And so I told him, like, you know, I wasn't, I think I actually told him we were going to kidnap him. So that probably, maybe things went wrong there. It was in a joke. And I was like, hey, I just want you to come with us. We're going to go out to the church, and we're going to get you something to eat and stuff like that. And then, you know, and so we're talking with him, and it's Grant. And in the car, he pulls out of his pocket this beer. He's like, oh, I got to get rid of this, right? And so, you know, and I was like, don't throw it outside. He's like, it's too late. They'll clean it up, right? And he just tosses his beer out there. It's like, okay. And so we start driving. He's like, where are we going? I says, well, we're going to go out to our church. I said, we're going to go out to our church. I said, we go to Lovelock on Saturday. And I said, I think, you know, we're going to go have church at Lovelock, but we're going to go to the church first. We'll give you something to eat. We'll, you know, this. And so I'm just kind of going through the stuff. He's like, okay, I need church. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, I'll go to Lovelock too. I was like, okay, cool. So we start driving out here, and he just starts with this. He's like, well, why would you do this? I said, oh, because, man, here's the thing, because we love you. Because God loves us. Like, we get to go through this whole entire thing. And he asked, you know, why would you do this? Like 100 times probably. So we get to the church, and he gets some food, and we get some clothes, and we get all that kind of stuff for him. And I say, hey, listen, I'm going to take you over to the house, and I want you, you know, get the chance to take a shower. It's just because, you know, sometimes a shower just feels really good. A fresh change of clothes, and we're going to wash your clothes, and we're going to do all that kind of stuff. And he's like, why would you do that? And he takes off. Right? He takes off. Like, I mean, we got to doing stuff while he was eating. He gets up, and he takes off, and he starts walking. And Jasmine's like, hey, you know, he's leaving. And so Steve goes running after him. You want some good church testimony? Here's the thing. And Steve said he's not here to defend himself. He's up there. Steve, that's not his person. That's not who he is. And so he goes running after the guy, and he goes and he talks to the guy, and he has this whole conversation. Steve's like, man, we had this good conversation on the way back. And he comes back, and all this stuff is happening. And so he comes back, and it's the same question. Why? And in fact, when Steve finds him, he's like, and Steve's like, oh, we're going to go back to the church. He's like, oh, I guess I don't need this. And he was getting ready to buy another beer. And so he comes on back, and it's the same thing. And so then he's talking to Chris, and it's the same thing. And he's asking Chris why. And so I was like, hey, okay, let's go over to the house, and you can take a shower, and you can do all this kind of stuff. And which we were driving out here. Because, you know, who loves driving in to and from town? Because it's just, right? Okay. Yeah, from town, yeah, because it means you're going home. But he's like, man, this is way out here. And there's some confusion because he's not completely sober. He's like, I just don't know where I'm at. And then he'll say, oh, I've been out here before, and it's just one of the... And so I start to drive him over to the house, and he's like, I just want to go back to shelter. So I say, okay. He's like, I just want to go back to the shelter. Just take me back to the shelter. And he says, I'm scared. I was like, okay, what are you scared of? He's like, well, I'm scared I'll be alone. Now, mind you, when he came to the group, when we were praying out at homeless, he talks about how he is asking God, like, right? And so I was like, listen, you're loved. I said, there's this whole group of people that you were just with. I said, we're here because we love you, because God is answering your prayer, like, right now. And he says, well, I'm scared I'm going to be alone. I said, you're not alone. I says, but here's the thing, you're running from what God has given you as an answer. I said, and you're not just running from that love, but you're running back to loneliness, because he says, I'm going to go find an alley. I'm just going to sleep in an alley. Now, he wants to go, so I'm not really going to kidnap him. Just listen, that was a joke. And so he starts, and as he's crying, and he's like, well, yeah, but why would you guys do that? And I said, listen, because God loves us, and we love him, and we love you, because he loves you. He just can't seem to. And so I'm driving him back to the shelter. And he sits here and he says, man, I'm so sorry to waste your time. I was like, dude, you are not wasting my time. He's like, well, you had to drive all the way out. You had to drive all the way back. I said, listen, you are not wasting my time. I am being obedient to what God told me to do. I said, I'll drive you wherever. I said, now, if I was giving you a piggyback ride, we might have a different conversation. I said, the van's doing all the work. I said, listen, I'm just being obedient to what God told me to do. You have to be obedient to what God's showing you. And so we started getting closer to the shelter. And he's like, where are you going? I said, the shelter. He's like, I ain't going back to that place. And so now I'm like, okay. Am I supposed to take him to Lovelock? Like, I mean, what is it? And he's like, just drop me off at the corner. He's like, and I'll walk to the store. I was like, you're in the van. Let me just drop you off at the store. And so we start pulling towards the store. He's like, no, not this store. He's like, the next store. So we go, he's like, no, not this store. He's like, go to the store around the corner, because they'll break a pack and sell me an individual cigarette. So I was like, okay. And he looks, and he's like, man, I'm so sorry for wasting your time. I was like, listen, you're not wasting my time. I said, but I want you to know that God has answered your prayers, and you're walking away from it, and you're running back to the things that have failed you. And he looks down at the stuff that we'd given him that was just bought for him. And he says, oh, your stuff is here. And I said, no, that's your stuff. And he looks through the bags and he sees the stuff that's in the bags. And he says, why would you give me this stuff? And then he gets out of the van and he walks away. Listen, look for the response that Jesus is giving you. You can walk away from it. Your faith needs to persevere. And you say, man, this seems hard, this seems difficult. Keep crying out to the Lord. He's not ignoring you. He's just letting your faith be tested so that it's proven genuine. Because guess what? When it's proven genuine, you'll understand to a greater depth that he is calling you, that he does love you, and that he hears and he's there for you. When he comes through, trust me, when he comes through, it'll be in his perfect timing, in his perfect way, to the place where you'll have the best, deepest knowledge and relationship with him. But don't walk away thinking that he's not there. The last thing Grant said when I said, listen, I just want you to remember that Jesus loves you and you can call out to him at any time. He says, I wish I could believe that, and he left. Listen, I want you to know that you can walk away from Jesus. And I want you to know that you don't have to. It doesn't matter who you, quote unquote, are in this moment even. You can be changed. You can be different in Christ Jesus. No matter your background, no matter where you are now, no matter what you've done in between. The Holy Spirit of God has brought you here and he's given you his word and his truth and his promise. Jesus took your place on the cross for all of that stuff. So that you could be with him, so that you could live with him, so that you could walk with him, so that you could be a new creation. And so even if you have some unbelief, even if maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, man, I wish I could believe that. Here's the thing. There was this guy who comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? If you believe, you'll have it. And he says, man, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. Listen, even your unbelief you get to bring to Jesus and say, Jesus, okay, I got this like little inkling. But I need you to turn that inkling into something powerful. I need you to help all the issues that I'm having. I need you to work through all the struggles. I need you to do all this. So Lord, would you just help my unbelief and just trust in him? And he will. In fact, Jesus says, man, there was what? No greater faith. Like, man, that, whoo, according to your faith. My faith, I just told you it was struggling. He says, yeah, but you knew where to go and you asked for help with it. Listen, don't turn to anything but Jesus. Listen, don't turn, listen, I'm going to say this that most pastors probably wouldn't. Don't even turn to the church first. Turn to Jesus. Jesus will lead you to the church. But if you're just looking to the church is full of a bunch of people struggling too, so it will let you down. Jesus never will. Every once in a while, we as the church kind of get it right. But you know when we do get it right? When we come together and we can make statements like this, man, I don't know how to help you. All I know is that I can pray with you. I can pray for you. Let's go to the Bible and see what it says. And so we as a church need to just encourage each other to find Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. Don't look for everything. He'll give you everything. Just ask for the crumb. Just ask for the crumb. Listen, he says, listen, it's done. It's done. Man, there's your faith. It's done. And in that same, like, boom, her daughter's healed. She goes back to her daughter and the demon's gone. Listen, society has got all kinds of demons attacking you, attacking your children, attacking your family, attacking every bit of you just because you're sitting in church even, let alone proclaiming the name of Christ. All those attacks are against you. Don't fight them in any other way. Come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, demons flee. And so you got these things and you got these issues and you know that Satan's on the attack. Listen, the Bible says, it makes it very clear. He is wandering this world. He is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Jesus crushed his head. Amen? Yeah. By taking your place on the cross, making you new. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. Let's talk to moms first. It's Mother's Day. Mom's probably the first and foremost thing. As you got kids, man, aren't you just always worried about your kids? You don't have to put your hand up. We know it's true. You want the best for your kids, and you want this, and you want that. Here's the thing. You run to Jesus with everything you have. You just say, Jesus, listen, I can't do anything for my kids. I just need you. Man, just give your children over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you stop being a mom. It just means you hand your children over to the care of Jesus. And you ask Jesus, okay, make me the mom I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's not kids. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your family. It's the same thing. Lord, make me a follower of you. Wives, you're going to win your husband by the inner person that is in Christ Jesus, not by your outward, right? That'll come from what's inside. Fathers, husbands, men, are you doing everything to make your wife the mom that God has called her to be? Are you putting obstacles and difficulties? You're more of a child than your children. Moms just have this way of nurturing, this way of love. Like, even here, my button, you know, I ruined my button earlier. Don't look, just, you know, I fixed it myself, and I cut this giant hole in my shirt, so it was wet. So when you look at me, I have this hairpin on my button, right? Because, you know, I'm a child, and so I had to go to Jasmine. Be like, hey, will you fix my shirt? But some of you men are acting and living. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how, quote unquote, responsible you are outside of your family relationships. In work, everybody looks to you, and you know, your guy club, everybody thinks you're the coolest and this, that, and the other. But when you're in your family, you're a bigger child than your youngest. And you make things more difficult for your wife to be a wife and to be a mother and all those types of things. Hey, listen, you need to repent and you need to seek Jesus. You need to say, Lord Jesus, help me to encourage my wife, to encourage the mother of my children, to strengthen her, to give her everything she needs. Older ladies, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I don't have kids and I don't have a husband. My life is blessed. Man, you got a whole lot of kids in this church. You have a responsibility to know the word, to be a good steward of the word. I got this quick little illustration. Miss Pat, we call her Sarge around here. You know that, everybody's giggling because you know who Sarge is. We were at the camp out a couple years back. And so it was, Sarge and Larry were up early, and me and Carson and Parker were up early. We were up there a day early, and before anybody, and before the whole rest of the church, and Sarge, Sarge was just like treating these boys and just like, I mean, taking care of these, all these kinds of stuff. And I remember the two boys, they just come running up to me. We were campsites away, and they come running up to me, and they're like, Dad, Miss Pat is like a real grandma. They were so used to her being Sarge. But when we were on that camping trip, she really stepped out of being Sarge, and she stepped into who she was. And those boys had a grandma who was not her grandma, who was not their grandma. Because she was just being what God has called her and equipped her and made her be. Those weren't her grandkids, but she sure treated them like they were. So I don't know what the Lord is calling you to do. That's because I'm not the Lord. But you do. You do. So I'm just going to give you just a moment. Just about a half a moment. I want you to just spend some time right there with the Lord. Father, as we sit in your house and in your presence, Lord, I praise you and I thank you that, Lord, we get to come to you no matter how we are, no matter where we're at. That, Lord, you reach out with an invitation, that, Lord, all we have to reach out and just accept and just receive this invitation. And, Lord, we have to let you just change us, that you would become the Lord of our lives. And so, Lord, that's different for all of us, but it's the same. And so, Lord, I want to just thank you that, Lord, many of us stepped into this place immature. Many of us stepped into this place as a sinner. Many of us stepped into this place in our own power, in our own pride, and in our own ego. But, Lord, we get to leave this place filled with your Spirit because of your death on the cross in our place and in our stead. And so, Lord, we don't ask for the whole world. Lord, we just ask for the crumb that we need right now. We thank you that, Lord, when we have you, we have absolutely everything. And so, Father, I pray for each and every request, each and every heart cry that went out to you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give us all perseverance. Lord, when it seems like you're ignoring, Lord, or it seems like we're not worthy, that, Lord, that's not from you. You're just calling us into a true faith. And so, Lord, help us to respond. Help us to persevere in that true faith. And so, Lord, continue to make our faith genuine for your glory. In your name, amen. All right, church. Remember, ladies, grab your parfait. Men, don't touch them. I don't even want to see you saying, I'm carrying this for my wife. Probably be the first time you carried anything. Like, all right. Ladies, get your dessert. Don't forget about some fellowship time. Hang out in there. Have some coffee. Have some conversation. Email, text. That's not good enough. Call your mother.